today on Real Radio.
When God the Father, in his righteousness, it's the nature of God. When he views a sinner that's been redeemed, he sees the righteousness of his son, Jesus. Listen, you may or may not take the salvation work of Christ seriously at the cross, but guess who does? God the Father does. God looks at the cross and he says, I will forgive all those who are behind that cross.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Finders, Keepers, Losers, Winners, continues in the book of Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. Losers in Christianity become winners. For when we find Christ, we consider all else as a loss when compared to the greatness of knowing him. The desire to save ourselves is part of our fallen nature. However, if you try to save your life for your own sake, you will lose it. It's only those who lose their life for Christ's sake that will find eternal life in heaven. There's no profit in gaining status, recognition, power, influence, or money if we lose our souls in the process. Today, on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack asks us if our transformation after receiving Christ as our Savior can be observed and witnessed by others, and does it lead to a godly, holy, and powerful life? Our faith in Jesus is not only based on evidence, but actions as well. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I go to the urgent care thing, and the doctor goes, stick out your tongue. First of all, he walks in the room. He's like this. Stick out your tongue. And I'm thinking. And then he decides to look and he, that's very infected. That's why I'm here. And he goes, we need to swab that and to send, get a culture on that. Hang on, 10 minutes, comes back. Seriously, he just goes, I don't know what this is. We're going to take another one and send it out. I'll call you later. And then he grabs my throat, and he's hurting me. Does it hurt here? Yes. How about here? Bad. How about there? Worse. And you know what? It dawned on me. What am I thinking about? I'm not going to have a picnic with this guy. We're not going to go to the movies after this is over. It's not a dinner and a date. He's a doctor. I want him to tell me what's wrong. He's not out to win a personality contest with me. I want him to tell me straight up. Listen, today Jesus is saying, I'll tell you straight up. You need me, Jesus is saying. You can't go to heaven on your goodness. There ain't no goodness in heaven but God. The people who are in heaven are sinners who have been saved by him. Do you understand that? No one drags their righteousness into heaven. Hey, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, me. No. It's him and all those who he has saved. And so the doctor told me with painful deeds that I needed this stuff, okay? And That's what he was there for, and that's what I was there for. If the doctor would have said, you know, there's something wrong. I'm just not going to tell you what it is, though. I don't hurt your feelings. So you just go around, you just kiss everybody you can find. You go ahead and lick doorknobs for all I care. Just spread the love around. That would have been a quack, right? No, and the second thing is this. In verse 8 is that Paul teaches us accounting terms, accounting biblical truth for ourselves. What does that mean? Concluding. He says, and counting them as rubbish. All of these achievements of religious acts or status, he says rubbish. The word is amazing. I'm not going to elaborate because it's actually too graphic to talk about. There's young people here in the service. The word rubbish here, I'll simply put, the word means waste, like human waste, dung, human waste. That's the word he used. Wow. Paul is speaking of himself, all of my achievements. The word means a wild dog won't even get near this stuff. A wild dog will get near about anything. But if there's human waste on the path, the dog's going down there, and it's like, boop! The dog will just, And Paul says, that's my acts of righteousness without God. He does the math, and it's beautiful. Paul does the math, but it's God's numbers. He comes to this conclusion. I'm a big loser. Nothing I can do can impress God. Can't save myself. But God sent Jesus. And so I do the math, and God has asked me to believe what Jesus has done for me, and I'm going to do that. And the moment that happens, God's mathematics is all that Jesus Christ's merits provide are now deposited like a keyboard stroke or like the moving of a mouse. Click. The righteousness of God is labeled over your life. This is pure theology. You say, I don't feel it. He didn't ask you if you feel it. God said, this is what I do. So if you could see what I can see, there's 3,000 people sitting here right now. That's a lot of people, a lot of faces. You know what? It gets real personal if I do this. Right now, I can only see you. Okay, like this. Go ahead and do this. I need all of you to do this. Come on. Okay, do this. All of a sudden, look how small. Look around. Just don't look at me. I'm the only. Look around. I don't know what's with some of you. You just can't do it. You're just like, I'm too righteous to do this. So here's the deal. In the vast crowd, imagine God looks at you. The Bible tells us that God sees us in Christ Jesus, inside. You go to Russia, you get the Matryoshka dolls. Inside a doll is inside a doll, inside a doll, inside a doll. You're in Christ. God looks at you. Listen, for you, he's the person. Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior. That means he sees the masses. He died for the sins of the world, but he's so amazing because he does this with you. I see you. And the beautiful thing is because you're in Christ, God the Father looks, and he's looking, and he sees what? Does he see Jack? He sees Jesus. Jesus, where's Jack? Jack's in me. I got him covered, Father. He's in me. When God the Father, in his righteousness, it's the nature of God. When he views a sinner that's been redeemed, he sees the righteousness of his son, Jesus. Listen, you may or may not take the salvation work of Christ seriously at the cross, but guess who does? God the Father does. God looks at the cross and he says, I will forgive all those who are behind that cross, who are hidden behind that cross. And he'll do it. And he does it. And when that happens, you are transformed. There's no more any rules to keep. Did you know that? No more rules. Rules don't apply to my life anymore. Because it's love. You say, what do you mean? If the speed limit's 55 miles an hour, if I love God, I'll go 54, I'll go 55. If I love me, I'll go 56, I'll go 106. The faster I go, the more love I have for me. Think about it. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not, and thou shalt not. No, not for the Christian. It's I don't have to, I don't have to, and I don't have to. It's no longer rules. It's I know what God did for me, I love him for it, and so I want to obey him because Father knows best. Big difference. Who are you today? And then finally, we'll end with this quickly. It's verse 9. Finders, keepers, losers, winners, it's only true. Verse 9, if my life is lost in his. And being found in him, there you go. Not having my own righteousness, my own standards. No more judging other people and criticizing them about what they did and didn't do. The answer or the question, I should say, is do they know Jesus? Which is from the law. I can keep the law. Paul says, you can keep it. Go ahead. Even if you can. It's not going to save you because he says, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Think of it. finders, keepers, losers, winners. How is that? By putting your faith in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. The remarkable thing, church, I read this week in a book about Mardi Gras. I don't know if you've ever been to Mardi Gras. I've never been to Mardi Gras. It's kind of, after reading it, it's a very twisted, strange thing. Very perverse. You don't want to type in Mardi Gras and then click on images. Not good. Mardi Gras is actually a religious event. Did you know that? It is. I thought it was very, very illicit and very erotic and very pornographic. It is. It's a religious event. Before you go into your religious duties, you live it up. And you know how you do it? You put on a mask. And check this out. Every year, the Salvation Army puts up on billboards and banners throughout New Orleans, God sees behind your mask. Isn't that great? What a quench, right? Where's the ACLU? They're gonna sue the Salvation Army for making people feel bad. Hey, people could be like normal people. It's like, oh, just hello. Oh, here, nice to meet you. And then they put on a mask. And what comes out when you put on a mask? Yeah. Who are you? The real person comes out when you put the mask on. I've always wanted to do this. Oh my gosh, I didn't know that was in you. Put on a mask. You can be a weirdo because they can't identify you. And Salvation Army just throws a cold blanket on the whole thing and says, God sees behind your mask. Is that, listen, that is true. Man, that's powerful. The only answer is for me to be in Christ, not in my own righteousness. And then look at the end of verse 9. That which is through faith in Jesus or faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Isn't this amazing? By faith. So wait. Listen, I want to read this to you and then we'll end. This is awesome. Faith is believing in someone based on the evidence and then acting upon it. Faith is believing in someone or something based on the evidence and then acting upon it. That's awesome. In a moment, you're going to get up, you're going to get in your car. You have faith in your car. You have faith that's going to start. You have faith that you're going to go eat today. You have faith that your body's going to be able to process the food you eat. Think of it. You have faith that the sun's going to come up tomorrow, all based on evidence. What's the evidence? The evidence is that it's always happened that way. Thus, I depend on that happening. Faith in Jesus Christ today is based on the evidence. Question, is the Word of God true? Can it stand the test of inquiry? Is the archaeological evidence of the Bible true? Are the scientific claims of the Bible true? Is the historicity of the Bible true? Question, more ethereal, but still quantitative. You could qualify this. Does the Bible's teaching change people's lives? Is there any evidence of that? You've got to ask yourself these questions. Your faith is founded upon evidence. And so I want to ask you today, we're going to close in this. I'm going to ask you, Christians, please be praying right now. Pray for those that are around you. But I'm going to ask you, will you be thinking honestly enough to make this conclusion that up until now, you have thought yourself to be pretty cool? And you're pretty good. And you've never owned up to your own nature of being a sinner, ostracized from God, because we have all sinned. And you have been able to look at other people and say, yeah, man, pastor, I agree. That guy's a sinner. She's a sinner. He's a sinner. But I'm kind of okay. Listen, you're in great peril. But maybe today God has spoken your heart. And I'm going to invite you to be a loser like the rest of us and thereby win. I'm going to ask you to find Jesus today. And He has promised to keep you for the rest of your life. He'll transform you. Let's pray together. Father, I pray now, Lord, I invite you. Even when, Lord, I was speaking earlier about the thought of a church not having you in it just causes almost like cold air to go down my spine. The thought of that would be the saddest thing in the world. that you could not be in a church like the church at Laodicea. You're knocking on the door trying to get into a church. I pray that that would never happen here. I pray that it would never happen in my life personally or in any one of us. But Father, I ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, that there would be those today that would shed fear, they would shed intimidation, that they would not allow the opinions of other people, the thoughts of other people, to keep them in a prison of emotion, that today they would decide you once and for all, that they would say yes to Jesus. So, Father, I pray now that you would move in the midst of this place in Jesus' name. If God is speaking to your heart today, that you would get up and you'd come forward and you'd stand right here. And I'll lead you guys who come forward into prayer. I won't embarrass you. I will not do anything like that. But I'm going to ask you to consider this. Jesus said, if you acknowledge me before people, I will acknowledge you before my Father, which is in heaven. Maybe today you have come into this building a very moral citizen, but you're lost. You've never desperately had the crisis of disillusionment about yourself and a panic, as it were, over your own soul. What in the world am I going to do when God looks behind my mask? And God is speaking to you. And if he's speaking to you today, I'm going to ask you to get up and you stand right up front here. I know it's terrifying, but it's nothing compared for the day that's coming. If I could make you a little uncomfortable with that invitation, imagine the day when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords makes his determination. But the Bible, Jesus said it himself, to all those who receive him, to them he will give power to become sons and daughters of God. If you believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose again from the grave, as the Bible says, and you want him to forgive you, if you want a new life, as we sing this song, you come forward and you stand right up here. You respond to what God is saying to you. So you come. There may be some of you today that you're here and you have thoughts like this, because it's inevitable. You have thoughts like this. It's like, okay, I need to do this. Today's not the day. I got to get to that sale, or I got to go sign up for Israel. I'll do it some other day. I want you to know that's God speaking to you. That's the Holy Spirit talking to you. He's so gentle. Don't you wish sometimes he'd just slap you, grab you by the ear and pull you down? He won't do that. He will not do that. If quietly in your soul you're thinking, man, if there's that pause, if there's that doubt, that question, trust me, you respond to him. And the moment you get up and start moving, all of that inhibition will leave. It's almost like you're walking through a wall. Right now, it's like, what are people going to think? And my family, my kids, my mom. Don't let the fear of man be that snare. On that final day, it will be just you and Jesus. No one else will hold your hand in eternity. And for those who trust him, he will reach out and take your hand. How cool is that going to be? Can you imagine? You drop dead and you open up your eyes and Jesus is smiling, reaching out to you. It will never get better than that. If you want to make sure, you come forward. Listen, you got like 30 seconds, okay? You can make it. From the back to here, you can run in 30 seconds. So you come right now, and then we're going to pray together. Awesome. We're going to pray right now. We're going to pray, and this is how it works. Even though I'm going to lead you in a prayer, the great thing is we're not praying to a totem pole. We're not praying to a statue. We're not praying to some icon. We're talking to the living God. And even though we're all going to say the same words, here's the fun part about it. He sees your heart. Remember, he sees behind the mask. And he sees your heart. We'll all pray the same prayer, but the question is for you personally, do you mean it? That's the thing. Do you mean it? Now listen, some of you might say later, oh yeah, when I prayed that, I felt like warm water go over my body. I've heard people say, when I prayed it, I felt a very mild, like electrical wave. Well, that's awesome. When I prayed it, I only felt hungry. I mean, I didn't feel anything. It was late at night and I was hungry and I didn't feel anything. But I knew this, that after I prayed, within an hour or two on my way home, my mind started thinking differently. I was shocked. The way I used to think for 19 years was changed. I began to think different. And I had funny thoughts like this. I'm going to buy a Bible. I wanted to know what the Bible said all of a sudden. And so listen, you're going to pray this prayer. And then number two, you're going to start reading your Bible. You all have Bibles now. We give you Bibles. And you're going to start in John's Gospel. And you're going to start reading. The reason why John's Gospel is because it displays the deity of Jesus. It answers so many questions. But this is important. Whatever questions you have in reading your Bible, don't call us. We don't want to hear from you for about a week or two. Because I love saying this. God is so real. Don't call us so quick. Don't go on the internet to find out what the answer is. Ask him, God, I don't know what that means. Tell me. God, show me what that means. And you're going to learn to hear the voice of God. And then if you're not sure after a week or two, then call us. And if myself or anybody on this campus points you to any answer other than the Bible, let me know. If it's me, you can fire me. If it's somebody else, I'll fire them for you. The answers in the Bible, our opinions matter nothing, okay? And so as you pray this prayer, let it fall from your lips. And Jesus says, in this moment, you'll be born from above. We use the term born again, born a second time. Jesus said, you'll be born from above. You'll be born brand new. Right now, you've only been born once. Right now, you're going to be born a second time. You've been born into your family once of the flesh. Now you're about to be born into the family of the Spirit. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I invite you into my life. And I'm asking you to change me. I receive your Holy Spirit. The conviction and the hope I have, I place in you. Today, I proclaim Jesus, having died for my sins, having risen from the dead, he is my Lord and Savior. So help me, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a message called Finders Keepers, Losers Winners. Thanks for listening today, and our hope is that all the things of your past, your present, and what you continue on to do be counted as loss compared to knowing Jesus Christ. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Today was day 3 of this lesson, and don't forget that you can pick up any of these days you might have missed at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, you know, if you just made a decision for Christ and you want to get hold of a pastor maybe to talk through it and find out, you know, what to do next, why don't you give us a call at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Make sure to give us a call. Get in touch with us so we can help you get pointed in the right direction. By the way, did you know that Pastor Jack has over 500 videos on YouTube? Lots of content available for you. Simply go to YouTube.com and search Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Maybe you can watch a message or two that you might have missed. Now, there are weekly teachings, real-life programs, special messages and events, intro clips to Christianity. Really, anything that Pastor Jack wants to share with us is available right there for you on YouTube. Don't forget to set your notifications up so that you can know when Pastor Jack has posted some new videos for you. Did you know that this ministry really is completely backed by you, our listening audience? Thank you so much for your continued support. Now, if you'd like to donate to this ministry, you can do it at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Or if you'd like, you can download the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. There is a simple, easy way on the app to donate to this ministry. Just to remind you once again, we are completely backed by you, our listeners. Thanks for your continued support. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.